Mission to the Needy, commentary for the November 25th, 2023 Sabbath School lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Matthew 6:26. What does love look like? I recently saw a video about an unconscious bird that had been knocked out by flying into a window pane, believing there was nothing there to hinder its flight. Striking the transparent glass with a loud bang, it fell to the ground below the window. Had it died from a broken neck? It lies on its back motionless. But its mate soon arrives. She began pecking at him and trying to turn him over. He continued to be unresponsive, but she was determined to save his life. Had he been conscious, the determined pecking would have been painful, but despite the pain she may have been inflicting, she was not willing to lose that relationship and was willing to do whatever was necessary, even if painful, to restore her mate to health. For what seemed like an eternity, but was only a few moments, there was no response, and someone with less commitment might have given the situation up as irredeemable. But then there was an ever so slight twitch from the corpse. At that, she redoubled her efforts, and the responsive movements slowly increased until the bird righted himself to stand on his feet. As he looked groggily around, she continued to peck at him until he flew off with her, joyfully, in pursuit. Her determined love restored what might have been lost otherwise. Had the wounded bird been more alert, he might have protested the constant pecking. He might have wanted to be left alone with his pain, depressed by what had happened to him. But depression can be dangerous. We can become so despondent we see no way out. Our mental state can be more deadly than any physical trauma we are struggling with. The efforts of those working to save us can be seen as counterproductive. We get to the point where we wish everyone would leave us alone and let us die in peace. But like that little bird, what we really need is friends who are not willing to give up on us. Perhaps the disabled man by the pool of Bethesda felt like that. He had struggled with his illness for 38 years. Hearing of the possibility of healing from the waters of the pool, he managed somehow to get to the poolside. But he discovered that to be healed, one needed to be the first one into the pool, whenever the water moved. Said to be stirred by an angel. Being an invalid, it must have been a tremendous challenge just to get there. How could he win a race into the pool against so many others who were waiting poolside for healing as well? Despairing, he nonetheless waited. How many of us might have given up long before almost four decades had gone by and simply drowned ourselves in that same pool to end our seemingly hopeless struggle? Did others encourage him to persevere? The Bible does not say. He had no way of knowing how his story would turn out. He may have been as oblivious to God's love for him as our little bird was to the efforts of his mate. But God knew his situation and was about to glorify himself through the man's suffering and deliverance. Whatever kept the man going despite his infirmity made it possible for him to be present when he caught the attention of Jesus. When Jesus asked him if he wanted to be healed, he may have felt the irony in that question. Had he not managed to get himself to this pool to seek healing? Had he not kept trying despite how remote the possibility of his getting into the water before anyone else seemed? Of course he wanted to be healed. He had done everything he possibly could, and still it was not enough. Jesus responded, "Get up and walk." The Bible doesn't tell us how the man felt upon hearing those words. Did he initially think he was being insulted? Was there a sardonic look in his eyes? Did they quickly pass when he realized that in 38 years he had accepted his condition without challenging it? Did he respond by getting up in submission to Jesus' determined authority? Or did he get up to prove to Jesus how hopeless his situation truly was? Whatever his motives, he did get up and found himself able to walk. Love had touched his life. Sometimes we become so determined that we know what our condition is and our needs better than anyone. After all, we have lived with it for so long, how could anyone else possibly understand, especially if they had not experienced the same suffering? But when we judge others' ability to help, we can set ourselves up to be taken advantage of by all manner of charlatans who claim to have suffered what we have suffered and found a miracle cure, a cure that can be ours, if we only send them the money they request for their product that is not sold in stores and the medical establishment is suppressing. It can be hard to wait for healing while years of prayers have gone by without apparent result. Would we wait for 38 years? What if the amount of time were much less? Would that make a difference? A woman had been bleeding for 12 years. She spent all she had on doctors in hope of a cure without relief. Instead, her condition continued to deteriorate. If ever there was a reason to simply give up with her money gone and her health failing, few would have blamed her if she simply succumbed to her despair. But she did not. She heard of Jesus' miraculous healings and sought him out, hoping to inconspicuously touch his robe and feel his healing power. Too ashamed to publicly declare her illness and ask for healing. Announcing it would amount to declaring herself as unclean as any leper. She tried to avoid that risk by approaching Jesus secretively. But God, who in his love cares for every sparrow, was not one to miss the opportunity to set someone free from their shame and loss. Jesus felt the love flow out from him to her in her need. Then to make public the joy of her healing brought her forward to glorify God. Now that the healing had taken place, there was no more danger of being ostracized as unclean. Jesus wanted to share with her all the joy of that moment. But Jesus no longer physically walks among us. What are we to do if we can no longer wait for him poolside or come seeking him out in a crowd? How do we keep faith alive? Another miraculous healing may give us a clue. A paralytic who hoped for healing from Jesus discovered he could not get to Jesus, and Jesus could not get to him. But he had friends who had brought him to where Jesus was, and they were not about to give up. They opened the roof of the house where Jesus was and lowered their paralyzed friend in front of the Savior. In response, Jesus healed the man, and he left walking and carrying the bed he had been lowered through the roof in. Our friends who persist in prayer and persevere on our behalf can be a vital element for our healing. But if we despair over our situation, we not only face the danger of losing the ability to persist in faith, but we may even attempt to drive away those who love us most and would otherwise make great sacrifices for our well-being. Prayer is an effective means of healing and salvation. Reading the Bible is like providing ourselves with a flashlight. The Holy Spirit is like batteries that energize the light. Prayer is a switch that turns the light on to light the pathway forward. The Bible tells us of Daniel, who was faithful in prayer, praying 3 times a day, even when it was made illegal to do so. For violating the ban, he was tossed into a den of ravenous lions, where his enemies expected him to quickly perish. but they did not understand the power of prayer. Daniel remained in that den for the entire night, and emerged unharmed, telling everyone that an angel had prevented the lions from harming him. Some might point out that such prayers of deliverance are not always answered. What about that? Daniel had three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who experienced a miraculous deliverance from being burned alive in a furnace. But before being tossed into that fire, not knowing how things would turn out, they told the king that sent them to such a horrendous death that God would deliver them. But if not, they still would remain faithful to him. In the end, they were delivered and did not even have the smell of smoke upon them. We are challenged in this life greatly. Pain and suffering seem to define our existence. As Jesus experienced with the massive crowds drawn to him, he felt the tremendous need for hope and healing in our wounded world. His love compelled him to respond to that need. Does our love compel us as well? We are told to love others as we love ourselves. Do we love ourselves to pray for our needs? If not, will we be able to love others enough to pray for them? What if we did not like them? Would we still pray for them? Would we love our enemies enough to do that? Jesus did. Why should the sons and daughters of God be reluctant to pray when prayer is a key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse, where are treasured the boundless resources of omnipotence? Steps to Christ, page 94. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast commentary at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. The written version has all the scripture footnotes supporting the ideas shared in this commentary. You can also find hundreds more commentaries, podcasts, articles, and links to books by the author at our website. Once again, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.